having a conversation with the resident. They let him go in the garage, and they were making pipe bombs in the garage. Jeez.
This is not a test. MUSC Health's Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast, designed for your busy life, arming you with the knowledge and skills when faced with uncertainty.
This is not a test, MUSC's first Emergency Management and Disaster Preparedness Podcast. I am Eric Madrinsky, the Ambulatory Emergency Manager. I am joined here by Brian Wood, our Lieutenant of Public Safety and also the University Emergency Manager, and a returning guest, Lieutenant Dan Schultz from Public Safety, and our newest guest, Victor Buzzkirk, also known as Buzz. So we will be calling you Buzz if you're cool with that for us.
I'm good with that.
And Buzz is a lieutenant with North Charleston Police Department.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your experience, Buzz.
I've been in law enforcement for about 30 years now. Actually, in August this year will be 30 years. I started with Department of Corrections back in 94 and then came to North Charleston in 2000. So I've been doing active shooter training, at least for civilians, since 2015. So that was a pretty pivotal moment for me starting that, just because it was the day after the Emanuel Church shooting. I went to become an instructor in civilian response to active shooter. So kind of God put me on a path of where I wanted to go with it, and kind of pushed me along and gave me inspiration, and been doing that ever since. So I've enjoyed my little stint in doing that. COVID kind of put a hiccup in all kind of training, So I backed out of that, and but we're starting to ramp it back up, starting to get more people interested, and obviously we've seen more active shooter incidents happening across the nation, so people are starting to want some more training, so we're able to provide that.
And we've worked with you in North Charleston for 3 to 4 years now, doing live action shooter drills.
Yeah, and those have been great training moments for not only your staff, but our officers as well, because they get to actually go in. And, a lot of times our training is just a very sterile environment. Mm-hmm. Empty school, there's not even desks in the room. It totally changes, and you can see the mindset of the officers change whenever they go into a scenario to where, man, there's actually people in here. Yeah. I can interact, and it's not so stagnant. And so that's been a great partnership that we've had.
I think
had.
The one that we had was was between police, fire, our folks, and then our the actors that we had. We had a bunch of actors. We had 135 people there for the
From a law enforcement officer's perspective, when you have civilians and their reaction, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a big learning experience for us as police officers, because when we do train, you're right. Even if we train with actors, those actors that we're using are normally other police officers or cadets or recruits. So when you have actual civilians and how they react, now it ramps it up for us, and it makes it a little bit more
realistic.
Realistic.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It challenges the mind, because you actually have to process what you're actually seeing versus that low, stagnant aspects, because, oh, my God, someone's actually talked to me. Oh, my God, I got to process what they're doing. Right. So it's a learning curve, by all means.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, great partnership. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully continue on. Probably bug you after the podcast, do another one here shortly in the
All
next
right.
year.
All right.
So situational awareness we talked about in our last podcast, but this one we wanted to kind of dive into something else, and we want to kind of see something, say something. So I think, Brian, what do you think? They're interconnected?
Sure. Everything with active shooter education or training is all intermingled, commingled. Each topic flows into the next. Our five pillars are situational awareness, mental rehearsals, if you see something, say something, survivor's mindset, and then finally run, hide, fight. Whereas most training, I think, just focuses on that run, hide, fight. We're trying to prevent these incidences from happening. And that's really what the if you see something, say something campaign came out of. It came out of my old police department in New York City, and it was incredibly successful. And what we need, the basis of the bedrock of that plan, is everybody's eyes looking for something suspicious is way better than just the police officers looking for something suspicious. So if you do see something, let the police officers know.
Reflecting back, we had a patrol officer who got dispatched to a call in one of our neighborhoods. And one of the neighbors next door said, there's some things going on next door that I just don't feel good about. I hear things going on in the garage late at night, things like that. Can you just go over there and talk to them? So the officer went over and ended up having a conversation with the resident. they let them go in the garage, and they were making pipe bombs in the garage.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right. So, and again, we don't know what maybe their intent was. You know, you can watch YouTube videos, and they'll show you how to do that kind of stuff. You know, crazy. But somebody didn't feel good about what they were seeing or hearing, and that situational awareness, and saying, you know what, let me reach out. Let me say something. And by them saying something, who knows what they might have prevented.
Absolutely.
You know? Could have prevented the person from hurting themselves.
100%. We talk about our spidey sense, right, all the time. We all have a spidey sense. We all. And when those little hairs on the back of your neck go up and you're looking at something that just isn't right, if you see something, say something.
They know their surroundings. They know what it should look like or should be. They give us that intel. We're like, okay, that might be something here we need to follow up.
Well, and I think it's a good point that you bring it up. It's out of your normal everyday daily routine or when you're at work. One of the things, one of the stories I always bring up is, you know, one of our clinics, somebody brought in a big, you know, like the military, like 50-gallon duffel bags.
Yeah, big old green bags.
You know, and it's, they brought that into one of our primary care clinics, and everybody's like, well, that's not right. You know, things like that happen. It's okay to say something to somebody.
Sure.
It's okay to be like, hey, this isn't normal. Maybe we should call the police. Maybe we should hit the panic alarm and say, we really don't know what's going on. Just have a conversation with that person.
Well, that's the hill that you and I are climbing constantly, is to try to let our MUSC family know you're not bothering us. This is what we do for a living.
Right.
You're not bothering us. If you can articulate why that you have 5,000 people pass by you every day and your spidey sense doesn't go up for every one of those 5,000 people for 300 days, and then all of a sudden there's this one person and they're looking into controlled access areas, they're wandering around, they're, when you ask them questions, they're not giving you right answers, your spidey sense goes up. We want you. We actually want you to call us so that we can go over there and investigate, ask those questions, and to try to come to the bottom of it. Nine times out of ten, it might be a disoriented individual, or it might be an individual that just doesn't want to be bothered. They're having a bad day, blah, blah, blah. But when you call the uniformed officers, police officers, over to the scene, that's what we want. You're not bothering us.
Yeah, absolutely. My thing is always, if it doesn't feel right, make it right.
Correct.
A lot of people are like, you know, and they'll try to ignore it or think, you know, somebody else must have called.
Right.
A lot of times that's, you know, we ask that. Why? Well, whenever you saw this, why didn't you call? Well, I was sure somebody else must have. Well, but guess what? They didn't.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking the same way you are. If it doesn't feel right, make it right. Give a phone call. Bring it up. Let somebody else know so they can interact.
They call it the bystander effect. It's when people keep on going by to go through their normal life because they don't not necessarily be bothered, but they... Okay, someone else is going to call. You know, it could take 30 minutes before someone actually calls.
That's probably happened to every single police officer in their career about 19,000 times, right? Where somebody said, I thought somebody else. You know, it was so egregious. I thought somebody else is going to call. And I went on my way. And so what we're trying to do, our constant battle with education, especially with this podcast and with everything we do, is trust your instinct. And if you see something, say something, let us know. We'll respond, and we'll get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, there was a video that we played during one of our trainings to where, you know, it's somebody playing sick on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody passes over them. People are stepping over them, you know, because they don't want to either be bothered or they're thinking somebody else is going to have to help them. I'm not. But as soon as one person steps in, then you had a bunch of people coming in to start helping. So, you know, the same thing kind of applies to where, you know, you're thinking somebody else has got have called about this, but they didn't. So you need to be the one.
So Buzz, in your experience for, you know, thinking about our inpatient areas downtown in the hospital and our clinics out in the communities, because, you know, clinics are geographically different, right? They could be in North Charleston's area. They could be in the city of Charleston's, Goose Creek, and now throughout the state, Florence, Lancaster, and our other folks. What are some of the things our care team should be looking for, especially when it comes, let's talk in the active shooter realm. What are things that you think our care team should be looking for?
So it's kind of based off that the person that looks like they're out of place, you know, they're trying to gain that controlled access area, just doing things that are abnormal. And, you know, each active shooter event, I think, has been different. So you really can't say, well, look for these specific things only because this is what it's going to look like.
Without doubt.
You know, if again, it goes back to that situation awareness of if it doesn't feel right, make it right. If you see somebody walking up, it's 100 degrees outside and they've got a trench coat on. Is that really probably the person that's, you know, typically going to come in? No. So let somebody know, call, let, you know, let the security officer know, let mm-hmm. others around you know about that. So to really kind of pinpoint a particular action or anything else, you're just looking for those kind of your spidey senses. Man, that person just doesn't feel right to me. Let somebody know. Start doing things now. The sooner you can get the ball rolling, the sooner you can get people engaged to where now maybe that event doesn't even turn into anything.
Right.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do. Yeah. That's exactly. That's exactly our goal right there. That's exactly our goal. There is no typical active shooter. There is no typical active shooter profile. I mean, there just isn't. There isn't a certain age. There isn't a certain occupation. There isn't a certain anything. So really, you're relying on the observation of what you normally have, right? Mm-hmm. Of what normally goes on, not just and again, what we're trying to do here is not teach you skills that you only use at work at MUSC. We're trying to teach life skills here. These are skills that, you know, when you go to the mall, when you go to the movies, correct. When you go to a high school football game, when you go to a concert, when you go anywhere, you should have these skills with you. And if something looks out of the ordinary to you, there's a reason. You might not be able to articulate that reason, but it caught your attention. It's out of the ordinary. Situational awareness. Now you're observing, you're gathering more data on what's going on. Yeah. And then if it rises to that level of where, you know, if you see something, say something, let somebody know.
Yeah. That's the great thing about, you know, the training that I do with the alert concept on that, and then this podcast as well, is you're showing people that you care enough about them to not only provide them some training and some skill sets in the workplace, but beyond.
Right. Correct.
They can use in their everyday life. Related. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then not only individual, but family environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to home environment, family environment. I mean, it's just a bonus. Friend environment. You know, it's very important to not just use these tools or these skills for your person for work related, but it carries on beyond that.
Spread the knowledge.
Yes.
You know what we know whenever you're listening to this.
Correct.
And now you can let the next person know, and it just grows exactly. And grows and grows.
And this was Not a Test, MUSC's first emergency management disaster preparedness podcast. I'm Eric Madrinsky.
And I'm Brian Wood.
Buzz, Dan, thanks for coming.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the time.
This is Not a Test. Preparedness is a mindset.